Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo, the director of AGLCA. With me today are Captains Chris and Elise Caldwell of Captain Chris Yacht Services. The topic at hand is wintering in the Bahamas and what you can do to get there and what you can do once you're there. So we'll be talking about that in just a moment. But before we get started, as I do weekly, I would like to take a moment to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA and Loopers at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. We encourage all of our listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And with the business out of the way, Chris and Elise, welcome. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing very well. Hopefully everybody that's listening is doing very well, too. Why don't we start? You, of course, are a long-term AGLCA sponsor and a frequent speaker at our events, but why don't we start, in case there are listeners who don't know the two of you, just introduce yourselves and tell them a little bit about your boating experiences.
I'm Captain Chris and my wife, Captain Elise, and we've been lifelong boaters living, I've lived my whole life in New Orleans. Elise grew up in New Jersey. We've been with outboards all the way up to bigger boats. I actually ran shrimp boats in Louisiana and then crew boats to the oil fields. Then we bought a 34-foot diesel single-engine boat to go cruising, and with our two dogs, we discovered that was too small, so we bought a larger 44-foot boat with twin engines, and then we started cruising. We cruised full-time from the year 2000 until the year 2015, and we've been around a lot. We've been to a lot of places. We've learned a lot of things that are not in the books. And we've learned a lot of other things that are in the books that we would like to improve upon. The point is that we've been up there, we've done that, we are enjoying it, we're having fun, and we now own a house in Vero Beach, Florida, so we're still in the boating mecca. We're at the crossroads for the Okeechobee Waterway from the Gulf of Mexico and Fort Myers intersects with the Intracoastal Waterway on the Atlantic side in Stuart, Florida. And this is the crossroads where you've got the decision to make. Do you continue east to the Bahamas, or do you go north up to the Chesapeake?
And I'm going to tell you, the very first time, I was all for, let's just go to the Chesapeake. I don't need to cross an ocean. But when you learn a little bit more about it, you realize it's a very easy and simple trip if you wait for the right weather. We could do it in our 44 boat, no problem. And we could do it in our 34-foot boat, no problem, if you select the right weather. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today. But, you know, many of us out there might have started as reluctant spouses and maybe have learned a little bit along the way. Maybe we're still a little reluctant. But what we've found is the more you learn, the more you know, the less fearful something is. And then you can make an intelligent decision on go or no go, instead of just winging it and going because you said you were going to go.
Deadlines are dangerous. The weather is the key factor, not the calendar.
And once you get over to the Bahamas, whether you go to the Abacos or the Exumas, it is an absolutely phenomenal adventure and side trip to the Great Loop. I know many people don't consider the Bahamas part of the Great Loop, but it's a fabulous side trip that's only 54 miles away. It's easy, way easier than even crossing from Apalachicola or Carrabelle down to the west coast of Florida.
Right, and at this point, where loopers might be crossing to the Bahamas, most of them have already done the Gulf of Mexico. So this is a substantially shorter trip than that crossing. What are some of the fears that you hear from loopers or other boaters who have never crossed over to the Bahamas and are contemplating it?
Well, we don't like to use the word fears. We like to use the word knowledge. And if you pay attention to the weather, then there's nothing to fear.
Right.
The Gulf Stream I don't know if everybody knows it, but the Gulf Stream is a river in the ocean. And the Gulf Stream runs between the state of Florida and the country of the Bahamas. It's on your nautical charts. You'll see a bunch of arrows going northward, and it says Gulf Stream approximate 3.5 knots. That is a fact, and that is on the charts. The next thing to keep in mind is the Gulf Stream is about 20 miles wide, east to west. So if you're crossing 54 miles of open ocean from Palm Beach, Florida, to West End, Grand Bahama, that 54 miles, 20 of those miles will be in the Gulf Stream, and that's where it may be rougher than not inside the Gulf Stream. So the most important factor to notice is the weather. Watch the weather. Pay attention to the weather as much as a week ahead of your planned departure to cross over to the Bahamas, and watch the weather patterns, not only the wind direction and the wind speed, but also the wave size. If you've got a northerly wind, and northerly includes northwest, north, and northeast. So if you've got a northerly wind pushing down against the northbound Gulf Stream, the waves are going to be peaked. They're going to be taller, and they're going to be rougher. So watch your weather patterns, and it's called clocking. So if the weather's coming out of the northwest, you can assume that's at 11 o'clock. The weather's out of the north, assume that's 12 o'clock. Northeast, assume that's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and then east is 3 o'clock. So when the weather pattern clocks around to east, just hope that it continues going to the southeast and the south. That is the ideal time to go. Anytime the weather is southeast, south, or southwest, that's the ideal time to cross the Gulf Stream.
And the biggest problem that we hear from most people that create their own big adventures is that they went according to a calendar rather than according to the weather. And if you have to wait, well, think about all the fun things you can do while you're waiting. If it's a very long forecast of a week or two of winds out of the north, well, don't hang around Palm Beach waiting across. Head down to Miami or the Keys and get a little side trip down that way. And then pay attention to the weather and start working your way back up as the weather starts getting better. Certain times of the year, you have bigger weather windows. You have longer weather windows. And certain times of the year, like right now, the windows are short. Can you do it in January? Absolutely. But it's more likely that you'd have a bigger weather window in February or March or even April. And people think, really, you want to go over to the Bahamas in April? Sure. Beautiful time to go over there. So is December. If you don't have family obligations that require you to head back home, but even at that, you can get over to the Bahamas and then hop a plane back home for a couple of days of the holidays and then go back to your boat.
Now, a lot of people are worried about the weather, and rightfully so. You have to be smart about it. But a lot of people want to know, what weather service should I subscribe to? And that means that you're paying somebody money. If you're in the Palm Beach area, and that is where you should begin your crossing to the West End Grand Bahamas, if you've got an aerial TV, free air broadcast television, watch the Palm Beach TV stations, NBC, ABC, CBS, and even Fox. They all have weather, and they show you what the weather conditions are like, and they show you what a Bahama crossing would be like. We even have an appliance sponsorship here in the Palm Beaches that has what's called a Bahamas Crossing Report every morning on channels 12 and 25. So Palm Beach channels 12 and 25, we have a Palm Beach Crossing Weather Report. So it's free. You can see pictures on the television. You can understand the wind direction and the wave direction.
And we would really encourage people who are going or planning to go, say, next week, to start paying attention to that this week. And then you can see and feel confident that when they forecast tomorrow is going to be X and Y, and it turns out it really is X and Y. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you start thinking, well, can I trust it? It's the day before you're leaving. It's the first time you're looking at it. So, you know, get used to what it is that you are going to anticipate and what the forecast is going to be. Just like when you made the crossing from the Carabel or Apalachicola, and you looked at Eddie's weather web, and you looked at a few other different options, and then you decided, okay, this is my date to go. Well, it's the same thing when you go to the Bahamas. And if you've had any kind of wait, 3, 4, 5 days, chances are you've got other people that have kind of started gathering around at the anchorages, and they're going to cross too. So flip on your VHF radio on channel 16 and listen if anybody is talking about going to the Bahamas, and then you can switch to a working channel where you can chat and see, can you get a buddy that's crossing at the same speed as you, going to the same destination as you? Because even those fast boats that swear they're going to go slow, when they get out there and it gets a little bumpy, their admiral says, put the pedal to the metal, let's go. They're going to leave you behind. So get with a buddy boat that's about the same speed as you. Now, once you get
okay.
it's gorgeous over there. Even when you've got a wind, you've got lots of protected areas where you can play in your dinghy, even if you don't want to take the big boat out. So you don't have to worry that once I get over there, is it going to be windy all the time? Yeah, you're going to have periods of wind, but that means you have to run your generator less or run your air conditioning less.
So we're talking about the weather, and I think we've covered that pretty well. So now where do you wait? You've got options waiting in the Palm Beach area before crossing the Gulf Stream. The options include going to a marina or going to an anchorage. Marinas, of course, cost money, and anybody who's budget conscious will know it might cost you at least $100 a night day in the marina. The other options in the wintertime, of course, are to anchor and sleep with the windows open so you're cool enough and comfortable. So the two more popular places to anchor are in North Lake Worth, which is about 4 miles north of Peanut Island. Peanut Island is at the Palm Beach Ship Channel, which on the paper charts is known as Lake Worth. So you can anchor in North Lake Worth near the Old Port Cove Marina. It's a very popular anchorage for smaller boats. And I'm saying smaller boats because you're hugging up against the northern shoreline, so the waves are not bad, but the water is shallow. So the smaller boats want calmer water, and they can fit in the more shallow water. Larger boats, like ours, 44 feet, that draws 4 feet of water, we anchor south of Peanut Island, and the water down there is about 8 feet deep. The fetch is a little more open, so you can have some waves. Remember, the reason you have waves is because the weather is blowing, and that's why you're not going, so you're going to have to wait. So we go down there and we anchor in about 8 feet of water, and then everybody wants to know what's the GPS coordinates for where you anchor. The answer is, look at everybody else. If you got little boats over there, it's shallow. Medium boats over here, it's medium depth. And big boats over there, it's deeper water. So the clues are obvious. Just look at them.
I want to just insert something here. We anchored a tremendous amount of time while we were cruising. We rarely went into marinas. So if you're not used to anchoring, that's, you know, a whole nother episode on Blog Talk Radio. But it's not difficult to learn. And there's anchoring etiquette. And we have to be good stewards of our waterways. When you've got 2 and 3 weeks of people building up, waiting to cross the Bahamas sometimes people going ashore don't give the respect to the
neighbors.
To the neighbors, exactly. And we want to, you know, we want to make everyone feel like, okay, it's a good thing to have boaters anchored in our backyard, not let's get rid of them at any cost. And I know, Kim, you fought the good fight for us, at all the loopers and cruisers of Florida, to try to keep the anchoring rights available to everyone. So this is one of those things where we just have to remember we are in someone's backyard, and we've got to be mindful of that when we're spending more than a night or two at anchor, anytime actually, but it really adds up. And one of the longer wait for Bahama crossings back in the early 2000s is what caused all this problem with anchoring, because in North Lake Worth, people were disrespectful to the neighbors and leaving trash along the water and leaving trash along the bridge.
They were taking their dinghies to shore, tying them up to people's fences, walking through their backyards. All those things are unnecessary.
So just be good stewards and everybody will be happy with us.
Let's talk about documents, because a lot of loopers have either already been into Canada, a foreign country, or they're going to go to the Bahamas, another or a different foreign country. You need to have all your proper documentation for your vessel. Going into the Bahamas, just like going into Canada, you should have your customs decal. Go online with Customs and Border Protection, and you can pre-register your American vessel, not a foreign vessel, but you can pre-register your American vessel, and they will give you a decal to put on the boat. And I want to caution you, for anybody that's been to Canada this past summer, those decals have expired. They're only good for a calendar year, not a running year. So you need to get a new decal for this calendar year. Next is your certificate of documentation, your insurance, and your passports. You want to photocopy everything. So that way, when you go into Customs and Immigration in the Bahamas, you can leave them copies. You're going into a Caribbean nation, and a lot of these customs offices are remote locations, and if their Xerox machine is not operational, then they'll keep your originals, and then they'll get the other ones back to you. So it's smarter just to have your copies and leave the copies with them. Another point on a passport, everybody thinks a passport or an American passport is valid for 10 years. That's not the truth. It's only good for 9.5 years. So check your passport and make sure that that's valid.
Okay. So let's actually, why don't we take a moment? Let me play a message from one of our sponsors. When we come back, maybe we can kind of move a little bit towards what to do and see in the Bahamas and what to expect once you do get there. Sound okay?
That's great. Thank you.
All right. Be back in just 1 minute.
Stay connected to your boat service tech online. Try MyTasket. MyTasket is the number one online task sharing and service coordination tool for boat owners. Accessible from a smartphone, tablet, or computer, MyTasket is your direct line of communication to your boat service yard. No back-and-forth phoning, faxing, or emailing needed. You can even upload photos or videos of what you need done. Take better care of your boat, save time, and minimize frustration. You'll receive automated maintenance reminders, and you'll have a direct line of communication to your service professionals. Need service work done? Just task it to your service tech. MyTasket is free for boat owners and includes up to 1 gigabyte of storage. Try it today at www.mytasket.com.
We're back. We are talking with Captains Chris and Elise Caldwell of Captain Chris Yacht Services, and we're talking about cruising the Bahamas. When we took that break, we were just talking about documentation needed to enter the Bahamas, because, of course, it is a foreign country. So let's pick up there, Chris or Elise. What happens next as we arrive in the Bahamas?
Well, we like to leave very early from the United States so that we are arriving mid-afternoon. It is only 54 miles, but we like to arrive early enough in the afternoon so that we can get through customs and enjoy our first day in the Bahamas. If you go over to West End, there's a small resort that's there, but they have a restaurant and they have customs right there on property. And you can ride your bicycles around if you like to kind of stretch your legs a little bit if you've been waiting for a while. You can walk around the property. There's a little beach area. And it's just a nice place to just kind of take a deep breath and go, ah, we did it. Yay, we got over here. if you want to continue on and the weather's good and you still have some daylight, you can move further into the Bahamas, into the bank, the Bahama Bank, over to Mangrove Key or Great Sail Key. Those are 25 miles and 50 miles from West End. So it depends upon the speed of your boat and how far you want to go and how much daylight you have. Are we talking middle of winter? Are we talking, you know, early spring when you have a little bit more daylight? So you have options there. And the coolest thing that you will encounter is the clarity of the water. It is phenomenal how far down you can see. You could be in, which is not often that you're going to find 25 feet of water, but you could be in 25 feet of water and see your anchor at the bottom, which is just, it blows your mind after you've been in some of the muddy waters of the Gulf Coast and the Indian Rivers and such. So coming over to the Bahamas, you'll just, the beauty is phenomenal, the color of the water, the clarity, et cetera. And you have many choices of both anchoring and marina. And people sometimes are concerned, I need a water maker. No, you don't. You can buy water in so many places. The only time I would say that maybe you might want a water maker is if you're going to go down island into the Exumas and stay at anchor a lot. And then it might be a good idea. But remember, if you have a water maker, you can only use that water maker outside of harbors. You cannot use it in a harbor. Too dirty water. There's too much runoff from the mainland or from the island, and so you've got to be in clean, clear water in order to use your water maker. So what kind of steps do you want to do? Well, I love this. One of our clients said after he came back from his first trip to the Bahamas, he said, it's like being back in high school, except that you know a whole lot more. There's so many choices of things to do while you're over there. If you are lucky enough to buddy boat with someone who you know well, you know, you can do a variety of things with them. But there's obviously snorkeling, and there's diving, and there's fishing, and your when you get into Bahamas and go to customs and immigration, you'll get a fishing permit. So you'll be able to do some fishing while you're over there. You just have to find out what's in season.
Now, we're in a Caribbean island nation, and you're on a boat. So the most common communication locally is the VHF radio on your boat. So not only do you want the base station on board your boat, but you also want a handheld radio. So every morning at either 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, I forget which, they come on the air on Channel 16 and say, stay tuned for the Bahama Cruisers, and we will start in 5 minutes on Channel 68. So everybody moves to 68. They announce the Cruisers radio report. They ask for any new arrivals. They ask for anybody leaving. If anybody's got mail to go to the U.S., you can give it to a boat that's leaving. They'll tell you what's going on that day and the next day. So you're actually going to get a radio news report of all the social events that are going on and the weather report. Now, here's something that's really bright. I love what they did in the Abacos. On one day, restaurant bar has the big event on that day. The next day, a different place has the big event at their restaurant bar on a different island. So you can see the cruisers either scooting around in their dinghies or moving their big boats from anchorage to anchorage. And I assume a lot of people have heard about Nippers having the pig roast on Sundays at Great Guana Key. So if you want to go to that carnival, Mardi Gras-like action.
Crazy.
And crowded. That's the day that you go. But if you don't want that, you can go there Monday through Saturday, and it's not crazy.
Right.
And then another place down on Lover's Quarters is called Cracker Peas. Their big deal is on Thursday night. Another place on Wednesday night is in Marsh Harbor. That's called Snappers. So you can have a lot of action. And you can live aboard your boat at anchor for free. You don't have to pay marina fees.
Now, If you go to our website, CaptainChrisGalServices.com, under our seminars, we have our listing of a variety of seminars that we've done, and one of them is Bahamas-bound Destination Abacos. We have included a short article of Bahama factoids, including a new website. In the past, we've given out a different website, but just like everybody else, somebody jumped on somebody's website, and now the OII.net is some interior designer. It's not the Bahamas anymore, believe it or not. So they changed their website to myoutislands.com, and then they've got all the different islands of the Bahamas. But if you go to our website and look at the seminars for Bahamas, you'll see all that information. And it will tell you what's happening. When is Junkanoo? When is a fishing tournament? Because they have lots of fishing tournaments over there if you like to go deep water fishing. And then if you just want to be one of these people like I am, which you just kind of with the wind, how does it feel? Where are we going? I don't know. What's the weather doing? If you end up in Marsh Harbor, there's a yacht club, the Royal Marsh Harbor Yacht Club, where throughout the whole winter season, they're doing seminars each week, and it's being given by people who are experts in their field. So when it gets close to tax time, there might be somebody doing a tax seminar. If you want to learn about what to do with all those shells you collected, somebody might tell you some of the craft things that you can do with shells. So there's a variety of things that just pop up very informal and in some of these little towns and harbors. So, there's a few things that are structured and scheduled, like Junkanoo and fishing tournaments, but there's lots of things that pop up that you just never know what you're going to encounter until you go over there. And other things.
Kristen, Elise, we're starting to run short of time already. It always goes by so quick when we get to talking. And something that I'm asked all the time, and I know I've been at seminars with the two of you, and you are asked this frequently too, is it safe? Is it secure in the Bahamas? People seem to worry a lot about leaving their boat at anchorage and hopping in the dinghy to go ashore. Can you speak to that briefly?
We have been over to the Bahamas more times than I have fingers on my hands, and we have never encountered a problem. I'm going to tell you, as a child of a cop, locks are meant to keep honest people honest. So we tend to get a little lax when we go over into such a beautiful, idyllic environment and maybe not lock our dinghy or not lock our boat. And that's what I find are the people that might have a problem. Not at all if you just do basic safety standards. Not anything where it's difficult. And that's we practice that sort of behavior where we lock our dinghy and we lock our boat no matter where we are. Just to keep those honest people honest and to keep kids from getting themselves into trouble. And that's usually the case mm-hmm. in big cities. But we truly have never had the problem in the Abacos. We've never had the problem in West End. A bigger city like Nassau, people have had some issues outside of compounds. You have to research a little bit about where you're going and find out specifically if it's a city, if it's got a poor community nearby. Sometimes you may have those issues in those environments, but never have we had it in the outer coast. And we've met many people who've gone down island all the way through the Exumas into the Dominican Republic. And if you practice basic safe behaviors, you should not have an issue. No pirates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
any other final tips or anything important that maybe we haven't covered that you just wouldn't feel right wrapping up without at least mentioning?
Yes, for the ladies in Hope Town, where the big lighthouse is, if you're walking on land on Sunday, cover up. Yep. No swimsuits. It's a very religious island. And then there's another island with a strange name called Man O' War. That's a dry island, no liquor. So as small as the country is, you have even smaller islands with different rules and regulations and religious beliefs.
Right. Okay. We are out of time, and I apologize. It does seem like we didn't quite get to cover everything. But Chris and Elise, thank you for sharing your knowledge. Chris and Elise actually presented for this about this, I think, for 90 minutes at our most recent rendezvous. So there's lots to know about the Bahamas, and there are lots of sources for that information. Chris and Elise, again, have a great website with some resources on it. It's CaptainChrisYachtServices.com. And if you are looking for more Great Loop information, our website is greatloop.org. Chris and Elise, thank you so much for sharing the information. We appreciate you being here. We're out of time. But until next week, thank you for listening and safe cruising.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.